probably one of the toughest worship sets I ever did. Not because it was hard to worship God, but because my voices would not work for me today. Lucky for all you, maybe. If I lose my voice before I'm done preaching, you guys might get out early. Or I'll say, tag, you're it. Oh, I don't know. I've had some people would run to the front. We've had some pretty good messages come from the body. Amen. Hallelujah. Sandy, you had a testimony this morning. Oh, hey.
Oh, I'm gonna pray for you.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Let me.
I want everybody to bring your hand forward. Touch this pastor.
Thank
he's
you,
not
Jesus.
Doing good. He tells a lot of stories, but he's not really doing too good. So we need to pray for him. So
the set was that bad?
I know a little bit more than what you think.
Oh. Woo! You can if you like. Come right up. Yeah. Well, come right up here and encourage us. Here, take this with you. Hey, I'll sit down. If you got a message, sister, you can preach it.
Well, it's been a very hard winter for my family and myself, but the girl that got hit by the school bus and passed away, the young lady, her grandparents live a couple doors down from me. Her parents live across the street, and she also lived on the street. And our street has been just mourning and grieving and sad. And I started because my daughter was in two very, very bad accidents this winter where her car was totaled, completely totaled. The last one, the airbags went off and crushed her chest, and she went to Strong. They said she was okay. I would talk to her. She goes, I'm okay. Well, when that happened, fear tried to get into me, and I had to keep coming against it, and God had promised me that he said, I have not forgotten your kids. So I had to, I mean, it was kind of a battle. Then they know Tony. Tony across the street from me had a heart attack, so... I mean, it was just, you know, this grieving and sadness was just overwhelming. So I texted my daughter, and I said, I'm worried about you. I said, can I come and see you? Well, you know, Tila, she sends one back. Please, 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 don't worry about me. You're going to stop the blessings. So I get an attitude. I've been a Christian longer than you. Don't preach to me. But I mean, but then I saw, I just had an overwhelming love. I said, I got to see her. Well, I worked all night. I worked till 12 yesterday, and I had to drive to Newark to see, I had to see her. It was just, I just needed to hold her and see her if she was all right, because she don't tell us anything. So anyways, make a long story short, I was so tired. I didn't want to drive over there, but she called me, and she goes, one of the people that I take care of is going to let me use the car, because the insurance company was supposed to give her a rental. She didn't get it. They were supposed to give her money for being out of work. She's been out a month. She never got it. She went to the doctor, and they took her out another month because she can't breathe, and she's having panic attacks. So she ended up meeting me at Tops. We go to go in, and she has a panic attack. I mean, she just, I never seen anything like it. I've been through the diabetic things, but I've never been through this. She started bawling and shaking and sweating. She goes, I can't go in there, I can't go in there. I go, you can't go in Tops? She goes, Mom, I can't. So I brought her to my car, and I prayed over her, and I hugged her, and I talked to her for I don't know how long. Anyways, came against everything that you can come against. And I said, do you want me to just go? Because I was getting her groceries. So I said, do you want me to just go in and buy your groceries, or can you go in with me? She comes in with me. So we found amazing bargains, amazing. I mean, the money just stretched. And while we're in there, the people that told her she could use the car sends a text and said, oh, by the way, I don't want the car back. It's yours. She's going, Mom, Mom. I go, don't have another panic attack. And it's a 2006 Ford Silver. It looks almost like mine, except mine's a Toyota. And so she texts him back. She goes, well, thank you. I know I can use it. They go, it's a gift. Take it. You're a good person. You have done so much for us. We love you. We don't need it. Take it. So we're going through the store. I'm not trying to ramble. We're going through the store, and she goes, Ma, I put $400 down on a Volkswagen. She goes, and told them I was going to pay so much each whenever I can to get it. She goes, I wonder if they'll give me the money back. I said, don't worry about it. I said, you just got a blessing. We're not going to worry about anything. We're just going to find all the bargains and get enough groceries for both of us. So we're in the line, and she gets a text. And it's the people with the Volkswagen. And they go, we've got some good news and some bad news. On the way to bring the Volkswagen to have it checked over, it caught on fire and blew up. This is all in Tops. And we have your $400. Because now she's got a car but didn't have her rent money. So now she's got her $400 and going to have her rent money. So we're in line. And she goes, Mom, God is so good. I hadn't read that text yet. She goes, Mom, God is so good. And the clerk goes, cashier goes, yes, he is. And I go, all the time. And she goes, you tell me what's going on because I need a blessing. So we're telling her some of it. And she goes, I need it. So I grabbed her hand and I go, I prayed for her. And the people in back of us were clapping and stuff. And I mean, then we get out and she got probably $200 worth of groceries for $100 and stuff. And there was some left over, so she got gas for the car, but the car's completely hers, and now she's got her rent money and everything. And it was just, the thing is that the girl goes, it's not our timing, it's God's timing. And Tila goes, oh, his time was running out today, believe me. She goes, because I have nothing right now, nothing. She goes, except my faith in God. And I said, that's how it is. It's always at the last minute, so... I hope it encourages somebody because it was amazing.
Thank you, Sandy.
Jesus caught the car on fire.
My wife said there was some testimonies. Is there another one? Someone else?
I have a prayer request for Ashley.
Okay. Ashley, yes, Dan. Excuse me? What was your name, Mrs.? Evie? Evie? Okay. Evie and Ashley? Anyone else need prayer? Laura? Okay. Yes. Amen. Aren't you glad you just heard a story of where God provided everything for somebody? He'll do that for your mom too. Yes. Jobs, healings. Families. Carol's not feeling well. Let's stand while we honor the Lord with prayer. Father, Lord, these names, some of these names that we've mentioned this morning, Ashley, Laura's mom, different ones. Lord, if you don't intervene, their lives are at stake. As we call upon your name, Jesus, to heal them. Lord, I pray for Evie today as she goes into surgery tomorrow that it would be an experience that would give her strength, that she would be blessed through the whole thing. I pray, God, for people that need jobs and for families, God, to walk in unity and just... Lord, we need miracles. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard. And Lord, I know that you have done miracles in different lives, but we don't always understand why, God, you'll move over here but not over there. But we certainly desire to move you. We desire for you to move everywhere. And so, God, I just pray a blessing over these that we've mentioned here this morning. The power of your Holy Spirit would intervene in their lives. Raise them up, Lord God, strong and whole and healed and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You going to take the kids down? All right. Yeah, she's getting out of here. She's heard me preach when I had a head cold before. Children, you want to go downstairs with... It's all right. You'll have a good time. You'll enjoy it. You guys are looking good this morning. That's all right. If he doesn't want to go, he doesn't have to. He's okay. Lord, bless the children's. Amen. I'm looking forward to the program that we're getting ready to implement. It's going to be a good time. Some powerful stuff for the children. How many know God wants to do powerful stuff in the children? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I was reminded this week, you know, we've been continuing talking about spiritual warfare and things going on. I was reminded this week of my theme verse. I have been so busy, you know, it's... How many know that when God puts something in your heart, he wants you to follow it through, right? Well, he gave me a theme verse at the beginning of the year, and it's been a little while since I really meditated on it and thought about it. But he's bringing it back to me. And it's very simply 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, because it is written, you be holy, for I am holy. And so I've been thinking about that, and it's a good thing to ponder and to meditate on God's word, especially if he gives you a specific verse or a specific word. My wife's got this book that's called One Word, and in this book they describe how you can take one word, and if you take that word for the whole year and you apply it to your life, it can really change your life. You know, for instance, let's say you're struggling, so you're one that struggles with depression, you could just pick the word joy and take that word joy and meditate on that. Take that word joy and really dig in on what the word means and seek each day, search out something in your life where you might be able to find joy. And by the time that day's done or that next month's done or the next year's done, you will find yourself totally different, changed, blessed. Well, the word that... The word that the Lord has given me is holy. Be holy. And by the way, I need to apologize for a couple of things. One, for the snow. It seems to be following me wherever I go. I went to Pennsylvania this week. Pennsylvania, where my son is, got snow twice. Both times when I traveled there. I came back home and it's snowing today. But also, I don't have my fantabulous PowerPoint going today. Please forgive me for that as well. And for the cold. And for not welcoming all my visitors today. There's a lot of visitors here this morning, and we're just so glad that you're here. So God bless you. My desire for you and for everybody that comes to this place is that we will sense his presence so that we'll have our lives changed and that he'll so impact us that we'll never be the same. That's one of my hopes and desires for each and every time I come in this place. And so anyway, talking about holiness, be holy, for I am holy. You know, that's something that Jesus expects from all of us. Now, tying that into spiritual warfare, trying to figure out how all of this fits together. How many know it is a war? It is a battle for us to be holy. It's not easy, is it? And there's all kinds of different battles going on. And sometimes it's easier to defeat, you know, easier to win in one circumstance than it is in others. And I want to give you an example of that. Because King David, how many remember David in the Old Testament? Had two battles. The first one is we find in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45. You can turn there if you want. We'll just read a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Starting in verse 45, it says, David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." You know, David, we all know this story. David and Goliath, he goes out there, all of Israel's army hiding in the mountains, hiding behind rocks. They're all afraid to go out and face this giant, this one Philistine that come out and is defying, not, and David understood, he wasn't defying the army of Israel, he was defying the God of Israel. And so David goes out there, and this is a serious spiritual war. Why is it spiritual? Because the devil, through the Philistines, was trying to defeat God and the armies of Israel. It's the God of Israel that you defy. It's a spiritual thing. David goes out on the battlefield, wins it. Kills that giant right now. How many would like to have that kind of a fight when you're facing a giant, right? Let's end it right here, right now. Yeah, and you know what? I'm gonna not only am I gonna defeat you, I'm gonna chop your head off, and I'm going after your buddies too. Talks about how he's gonna go after the armies of the Philistines and just devastate them, basically what he's talking about. But then 2 Samuel chapter 11 and we all know David, he did great exploits for the kingdom of God. Defeated all his enemies, all the armies that came up against him. But then, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Spiritual warfare. David was able to stand up against the armies of the Philistine, that great giant in front of him, but one woman. One woman who would not have been any type of threat to him at all. One woman who happened to be where she was at the time, and we've all heard the stories and we've all heard the sermons, how, you know, she was where she would, it was in the evening, David should not have even been there. Do you know that the most difficult battle that you and I face in the spirit is not what's coming from the outside. For instance, you know, Sandy's testimony, your daughter needed a car, needed a job, needed an apartment. Who else? Somebody else needs everything. Jobs. That's right. Abby's mom, or Gabby's mom, needs a job, needs a car, needs a place. You know, we think these are the hard things of life. No, they're not. Those are the easy things. The giants that stand right in front of you, and you can see them with your eyes, and you can put your finger out and say, oh yeah, that's my problem right there. I need to deal with that right there. Those are not the tough battles. You know, the bill comes in the mail. Oh, this is a giant to me. How am I going to slay this giant? I don't know. And you pray and God provides, as he always does. But you know, the greater battle that we fight in the spirit is on the inside. In David, as great a king as he was, as mighty as a warrior that he was, he wasn't able to defeat the man on the inside. And that is the thing that I really want to focus on today. Going back to the verse that the Lord gave me for this year, be holy, for I am holy. Well, you know what? Being holy doesn't necessarily mean what I do on the outside. It doesn't mean, you know, coming here and leading in worship or preaching messages or doing whatever it is I do on the outside. All the stuff that makes people say, oh, isn't that pastor wonderful? Look at all the stuff he does. No, that has nothing to do with being holy. What being holy he's talking about is what's going on in my heart. What's going on in the inside? How many know it's easier to go to church than it is to be the church? Huh? And isn't it sad that people struggle even to get to the church? That's the easy part, just showing up. And there's spiritual warfare going on in all of that. You know, the people that are that didn't make it here, they didn't, you know, find themselves enough strength, enough time, enough whatever, to get down to the church today. But you know what? Here we are. Those of us that made it here today. Okay, you defeated the giant. What about the person on the inside? These chairs up here, they represent something. I had three people offer to put those back today, and I said, no, leave them there. The reason why I wanted, my wife, we left them out the other night. My wife said, oh, we'll put them away sometime. But I'm like, you know what? I think we want to leave them there for today anyway. And the reason being is these chairs are really just an illustration of what it takes to win the battle on the inside. Because these chairs, we circle these chairs like this every Wednesday for prayer. That's where we fight battles, right there, in prayer. These chairs, we also circle them like this on Wednesday nights for the ladies to gather for our Celebrate Recovery program. There's battles that are won right there in those chairs. Not the battle, not the giant, not the thing that everybody can see, but the person on the inside. Be holy, for I'm holy. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18 that those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and they defile a man. The things that are in your heart, your sin nature, my sin nature, are the things that defile us. And in verse 19 it says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. You know, this is interesting. Go look at that chapter. Chapter 15 of Matthew. You want to win the battle on the inside? You need to be able to identify what the problem is. Identify what your enemy is. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile a man. In verse 19, this particular verse, I haven't got it highlighted in my Bible yet, but I need to find my highlighter and do that. Oh, here's one. I'm going to do it right now. Verse 19. For out of the heart proceed, and then there's a list. I want you to take a good look at this list. Because in this list is where you're going to find the hardest battles that you ever fight in spiritual warfare. In this list, you are going to learn. You should be able to identify what your sin nature is. This is one of the things that the Lord has blessed me through the years by helping me to acknowledge and recognize my sin nature so that I can fight it. So that I can stand against it. So that I can call upon the name of the Lord and defeat it. So that I can pick up a little rock and throw it and knock it out and cut its head off and go after its buddies too. You want to win the battle on the inside? Figure out which one of the in this list is the enemy is using against you. It says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Anybody ever have evil thoughts? I used to have evil thoughts. Of course, everybody, you know, you'll still have evil thoughts. I remember some evil thoughts that used to come in my mind. I'd be in church and I would see things and evil thoughts would come in my mind. I'm like, God, why am I thinking? I'm sitting in church. What is it with these thoughts? And I have learned through the years to capture every thought. The Bible talks about that. Take captive every thought. And I would say, I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to have thoughts like that. That's just crazy. And I'd pray, God, please take these thoughts away. And recognizing, though, where they come from. They come from in here. It's like, oh, God, forgive me for these evil thoughts. And then through time and through steadfastness and patience, one day I learned, I got to the place, it's like, oh my gosh, I haven't had those thoughts in a long time. Thank you, Jesus, they're gone. Won that battle, hallelujah. But you won't win the battle if you don't recognize what's going on. If you have evil thoughts, rebuke those thoughts. You have evil thoughts, you pray to God to take those thoughts away. Yeah, what's another one? Murders. Well, most times I'd be able to say, you know what? There probably nobody in here has ever murdered somebody, but I can't say that today because we have people in here that have. And some of you are like, oh, what? Are you serious? Yes, I am. You want to talk about God's grace? I'll never forget the time I was down in Florida and this big, big black guy gets out. They're baptizing guys. This big guy. And he goes, I want to thank the Lord for forgiving me for murder. I'm like, wow. And this guy's sobbing. Well, you know what? Jesus said if you hate somebody, it's the same as murder. Murders. I'll guarantee you every single one of us have committed murder. If that's a problem that you have, understand that is a spiritual war that you're battling right now, and it's coming from in here. It's not coming from out there. We want to be victorious. We got to win. We got to take care of this. Adulteries. Here, we can put it. I'll put adulteries and fornications together because they kind of go the same. Any type of sexual immorality, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter whether it's an actual deed, even what's going on up in here. You know what? What goes on up in here is worse most times than what you would actually do or I would actually do. Thefts. Are there any thieves here? Yeah, believe it or not. False witness. Blasphemers. This particular list, take a look at this. And you know what? There are times that we really need to take a real close look. Celebrate Recovery, the program we do on Wednesday nights, is very strong on doing self-examination. Well, right here's the list to do your self-examination against. Say, huh? Yes, God, that's me. What do I do now? You know, we spend a lot of times, I know I do, I spend a lot of time just looking for God's glory, looking for his presence, looking for all the good things and all that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But every now and again, it's really important. We should go back and look and say, huh, let's take a real good look at what sin is and determine whether or not we have some of that going on in here. That's important. Why? Because God wants us to be holy. And we can't be holy if we don't win that war. Now, why didn't David stand up to, and the moment he saw that woman, turn to God and say, you know what, heart of mine? It's the God of heaven that you are defying right now. The same thing he said to Goliath. He said, right now, heart of mine, it's the God of heaven that you are defying. And in the name of the Lord, I'm going to defeat you. And that's the type of thing that we need to understand with our own sin, with our own lust, with our own whatever that's on the inside that causes us not to be holy. We should stand up to that and say, hey, my name is Dale Andrews. For those of you who don't know me, God bless you. I'm sorry I didn't give you that earlier. But I should look in the mirror and say, hey, Dale Andrews, it's the God of heaven that you are defying when you have those thoughts, or it's the God of heaven that you're defying when you do these blasphemies or murders or whatever it is that's in that list that goes against God. Sometimes we need to call ourselves out. Who likes it when somebody else calls you out? Nobody. I didn't see any hands go up. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, if a brother sins, go restore him gently, but be careful. Why? Lest you fall. Yeah. It is so easy. Isn't it easy to point out the faults in others? Oh, sister so-and-so. Brother such and such. What about me? What about the guy in the mirror or the girl in the mirror? It's very important. Be careful, lest you fall. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wow. We're up against a serious battle. You know, we've kind of defined spiritual warfare recently as, you know, God and the devil fighting over who's going to get our allegiance. And the truth of it is, if we don't get a hold of our own hearts and we don't get things under control by the power of the Spirit of God, all our allegiance will go the wrong way because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In verse 10 there in Jeremiah chapter 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways. How many want God to give according to your way? Oh, see, no more hands. Okay, again. Me neither. I wouldn't want him to give to me according to my way. I know what my way is. I do that self-examination thing, and every once in a while, I got like, holy cow, wow, I need to get in prayer. I need to get up here and win some battles. According to the fruits of his doing. Lord, search the heart. I pray that when he searches my heart and when he searches your heart, what he finds in there is love for him. What he finds in there is not all of these things in this list. Evil thoughts and murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, faultlessness, blasphemies. You know, it's very important every now and again when the Bible makes lists like that, we should really pay attention to those things. I mean, he didn't just pick stuff out of the air. Oh, let's throw in murders. Oh, let's throw in whatever. No, he's very serious and very intent. He'll show us. He'll tell us what sin is. He'll tell us what is right and what is wrong. And he'll encourage us to do the right thing. But he also tells us to do what? To police ourselves. To pay attention to what we're doing. What's it say? Before you try to get the stick out of your brother's eye, get the what out of, you get the beam out of your own eye, right? Deal with you. I hate that when I take a drink, I end up with an ice cube in my mouth. It would be good on the throat. But you need to deal with you. I need to deal with me. Because there's a war going on. And Jesus is coming back for a church that is what? Without spot and without wrinkle. But when I look at my heart and I know what's on the inside, I see a lot of spots and I see a lot of wrinkles. And I understand that this is a war, and Satan does not want me to get the iron out and get rid of those wrinkles. He doesn't want me to get the tide out and get rid of those spots. I don't know if tide's good on spots or not. I know the ether is. Just a little side note there. A little can of starting fluid will get rid of grease real quick, but anyway. Just a little extra there for you. Remember, I got cold, head cold. That's why my mother-in-law didn't come to church today. She probably knew it. Heard me preach that way before. So what do we do with our own sin battle? What do we do? I praise God that there's answers in his word. What to do when we look inside, when we truly look inside, and we find out who's in there. We find out how wretched we really are. John chapter 3. The moment I say John chapter 3, what's the first verse that comes to mind? 16. Yeah, for it's like God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I love what comes before and what comes after that particular verse. What comes before that, he's talking to Nicodemus about being born in the Spirit. But what comes after it, he tells us what we should do with our sin nature. Number one, this is the number one thing you should do. When you find out, hey, this is who's on the inside, the number one thing you should do is expose it. Expose it right now. John chapter 3, verse 20 says, everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Actually, let me go over there and read it in the New King James. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, God wants us to rat ourselves out. Do you know that? Do you know that the thing that you try to hide from God is the thing that's going to condemn you? You know, if you look at some verses behind, back, we go back to verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. You see, the thing that you try to keep secret is the thing that's going to condemn you. And so he wants us, first of all and foremost, to expose. The moment we realize, oh my gosh, I got this going on. This is what's in. Be honest and expose it. That's what it says there in verse 20. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, but his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, verse 21, he who does truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Wait a minute. His deeds. How many want your deeds to be clearly seen? Anybody? No hands again. Yeah, we got some hands. See, now we're catching on. Yeah. Yeah, our sister up here raised her hand too. I saw her. He wants to expose it. There's in the Celebrate Recovery program, there's a line in there that somewhere it says you're only as sick as your secrets. You know, the more secrets that you have, the sicker you are. Okay, so, all right, I figured out what it is, God. Here it is. Boom. I'm going to bring it to you. And isn't that what God wants us to do? He wants us to bring our stuff to Him. Whatever it is, bring it to Him. Expose it. Say, God, I recognize this is who I am. This is what's in my life. And I need your help to conquer this thing. The second thing that we need to do when we realize what our sin nature is to confess it. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says, we all love the second part of this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, how many like that? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We love that, don't we? Do you realize that that's the second half of the verse? The first half says, confess your faults one to another. How many like that part? Oh, boy, that's a little bit harder. James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many want your prayers to avail much? Well, it's important then. The only way you become righteous is by confessing your sin. You know that? 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of those things in that list that we just listed back there in Matthew chapter 15. He'll cleanse us from all that stuff. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you win the war. You expose it, you confess it, and then you do what? You repent of it. One of the words that the church needs to speak more and more often, I think, more often than what we hear anymore, is the word repentance. Repentance is important. Repentance talks about change, talks about turning from our sin and going the way God wants us to go. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32 says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If he came to call the righteous, how many know there probably wouldn't have been too many people there at the party? But sinners to repentance. How many of us are sinners? All of us. How many of us need some repentance? All of us. Isn't it awesome that God came to this earth for all of us? Amen. So do a little self-examination. Do some spiritual battle, some spiritual warfare on the inside. Don't be like David and let just this sin nature that was inside of him defeat him when he should have been out on the battlefield with everybody else. We all know that. But instead, he allowed one woman. Giants couldn't kill him. Armies couldn't kill him. King Saul couldn't kill him. All these lions and bears, oh my, couldn't kill him. Lions, giants, and bears. He never mentions tigers, so. Lions, giants, and bears, oh my. But his own sin nature took him down. Isn't that amazing? How many want to be defeated by your sin nature? Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to catch you. Nobody wants to be defeated by their sin nature. And so what do? We expose it, we confess it, we repent of it. Amen. That's, you know what the best battle plan I guess I can put together this morning for your spiritual warfare is to expose it, confess it, and repent of it. That's a good battle plan right there. And then rely on God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, I'm planning on coming back tonight, 6 o'clock. I know there's some there who say, oh, you're sick, you shouldn't do it. Whatever, I'm coming. 6 o'clock, we'll continue our Bible study in the book of Revelation. Maybe I'll let somebody else read it tonight. But First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not be on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, 10:4, good buddy. Not too many CB folks out there. Second Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Casting down arguments. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Casting down arguments. What arguments? The argument that you have with your own sin nature. You know that's a fight sometimes, isn't it? Your sin nature says, oh, it's okay. You can get away with it. Uh-huh. But the Spirit of God says, no, that's not okay. You shouldn't do that. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What are the high things inside of you that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God? How many know that there are things inside of you that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's a powerful verse. Every thought into captivity. How many are daydreamers? Yeah. I used to be a daydreamer. I still do sometimes. Probably more than I think, that I'm aware of. But to take into captivity every thought. And we might think, oh, that's, wow, that's not easy. Well, it's actually easier than you think. But it's very important that you catch the thoughts that you know God don't want you to have in there. Ooh, catch them. Every thought into the captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Whoa, hey, that thought shouldn't be in there. Get in line with Jesus' word and get out of my head. Amen? And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, it's God that gives us the power to defeat not only Goliath the giants, but also the man on the inside. It's God that gives us the power to do that. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, the second half of that verse says, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. How many have tried on your own strength with might and power to defeat that sin nature that's inside of you? Oh my gosh, willpower will carry you just so far. Might and power will get you just so far. But until you call upon the name of the Lord, until you're walking in His Spirit, you will not defeat even your own self, even your own sin nature. Psalm 20, verse 7, I'll close with this verse. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I was almost going to, I usually like to pick up my guitar and sing a song at the end. I almost bailed on it because I can't sing. But that's all right. Holy. for God is holy. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. I believe, God, that you give us your word to challenge us, to inspire us, to move us closer to you, farther away from ourselves. I pray, God, for each and every individual in this place today that might be struggling with their own flesh, struggling with their own evil hearts that are within us. Father, I pray that you would help us to rely upon you, the power of your Spirit, to defeat not only the giants on the outside, but the inner man, the person that is inside of us, that causes us, oh God, to do things that are contrary to your will and your way. We need you, Lord. We need your power to defeat even ourselves. Help us to remember that this is warfare, that this is a and this is not a battle that we want to lose. This is something, God, that we need to win. And so, God, if there's sin in our lives, I pray that today you would give us the courage to expose it, to confess it, to repent of it right now. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Amen. I'm going to play this song a little bit. If you want to spend a few moments at the altar, just asking God to give you strength. Because, believe it or not, whether you have completely won your battle with sin, or whether you haven't had that moment like David where you're on the rooftop and opportunity arose, trust me, if it hasn't happened to you, it will. And if you want to have the strength to overcome, if you want to be able to walk in the power of His Spirit and not in the lust of the flesh, and you know that what your weaknesses are, then I just ask you, come, you just lay it all here on this altar, confess it to God, expose, confess, and repent to God here in this place today. Call upon His Spirit. To make you holy, to make you righteous before Him. Lord, I pray right now that for those who have won these battles, we're just so thankful and grateful for victories in our lives, because many, Lord, have defeated sin. But, oh God, we know that there's other things that may come along, and that we continually have to keep our focus upon you. And as that song that we sang, we need you every hour, oh God. You're our defense. You're our righteousness. And we need you desperately. And so as we bow before you here in this place, Lord, forgive us where we have fallen short. And empower us, oh God, to conquer the enemies from within. To be able to recognize our own sin nature and be able to rise above by the power of your Spirit. To walk in faithfulness and righteousness and holiness before you. Sing this chorus with me. Take my heart and form it
take my mind and transform it. Take my will, conform it, Lord, to yours, oh Lord. Just take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it, God. Take my will, conform it to yours. Yes, to yours. To yours.
Amen. Amen. Greet one another this morning before you leave this place. Let's show each other what the Bible says, that you'll know they're Christians by their love, right?
Oh, righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me.
Tonight, 6 o'clock, Bible study. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, celebrate recovery. Remember, lovely Miss Evie, tomorrow she's in surgery. May God bless you.
Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, conform it. Take my will, conform it. 'Cause I am yours, I am yours, oh Lord. I am yours, I am yours, oh Lord. Yes, I am yours.